Okay, guys, I wanted to, really what I'm trying to do today is bring you to a place, hopefully, where when you come to the update on Wednesday or Thursday, that will make a heck of a lot of sense then. Okay, so the detail and the stuff that I'm talking about, the updates from the Open Blue point of view, and obviously where Dayspring's input is and a whole bundle of that, will make a lot more sense once you've heard, you've been in the update. Okay, but realise that we need to do a little bit of prep work really before that. So some of this is going back over the years really to try to just look back at where we've come from and where we're at, and it's quite a journey really. And so just to draw your attention to, in case you've just been chatting rather than looking around, we've got a banner here that we had from a number of years ago, and it does actually say Wake Up and Rise on it. We've got this old patched together ordnance survey map of Wiltshire. It's got a little bit, tiny bits missed off the top, because I didn't want to buy another ordnance survey map at the time, because for just a tiny, tiny bit. And then there's some black dots on it, and you can see a couple of green circles and stuff, which mean something as well as part of the process. And then we've actually got another sort of more up-to-date map over here that hangs in the office at Avonbridge House, in Dayspring Open Blue's office. And there's a reason that that hangs there too. So as I was sort of trying to work out how to bring you up to the point of the updates, really I had to go back to this thing which I called the bounty, which Dayspring received quite a number of years ago, possibly even in the late 90s or around the turn of the millennium. And what we did was we did a lot of praying and a bit of prophesying and prophetic action. So there was various things that happened, like we went to various roundabouts and outside points on Chippenham and just prayed for the town, or we went out to the top of Bowden Hill overlooking Dock and West Bay, Warminster. You can see quite a lot of Wiltshire from there, and prayed for the county from there. Or we went up to the place where they make the wine near Titherton, just at the top of the hill there, Maud's Monument, I think it is. Maud's Heath, yeah, and the monument that's there. And we prayed out, because you can see the county from there. But we sort of had this call to the county, did a lot of this prophetic praying, and we also had this impulse, I think it was the only way I can describe it now, in retrospect. It didn't feel like an impulse at the time. It felt like something just sort of steadily rising. To plant where these dots are on the map, we actually have planted little seedlings. Now, some of you will remember that, but of course some of you weren't here at the time and just never have heard of that before. But we took little seeds like conker seeds or acorns or whatever, and they'd grown into a little seedling and they were in a pot. At some point we actually put seeds in pots and waited for them to grow, and others were already growing. And we, over a period of maybe a year or two, people travelled out and said, right, well, I'm going to go plant a tree, and they'd find a little place, a hedgerow or somewhere, and they'd plant it in. So we've got them right down in Salisbury, over in the west and over in the east, and up in the north, and we try to pray for the whole county doing that. Now, I've asked several people this morning if they could, during the week, the question I've asked them is, can you remember what actually happened or how this prayer for the county thing, this prophetic praying, and also the starting of the bus actually impacted you? Now, I couldn't ask everybody that was involved, so I've just asked one or two people. But if you feel that there's been a gap in when the stories have all come out and you were there, and you think, oh, they've missed that important point, then I used to jump up and down and flag, and we'll add it in, because we need the whole sort of bits of the picture. Okay, so who'd like to start and come up first? I've asked various people. Should we start with you, Carol?
That's why you sat there.
Yeah, Carol. Oh. Andy, do you want to go first? All right, come on then.
Carol wants to go first.
No, it's fine. I selected her and she was resistant, so.
Here you go. Okay, right, good morning.
So my recollection really is very much along the lines that we're a very spread out church geographically. We were people coming from an area from Box in the west out to Calne in the east, up through to Wootton Bassett, Malmesbury, and various points in between. And so there had to be very different ideas to what church as a entity meant. And so we got to the point where Sundays was not necessarily going to be the ultimate expression of what church was. And so the groups became the churches, the neighborhood churches that were meeting through the area. And so this is an expression that church isn't... everyone obviously knows you move on from the church being like a building in the way, but it's church being where the people are. And so this is the expression that Dayspring had to do, was to be the church where the people were, doing what people wanted, doing the things that the other people were doing.
Right, thank you, Andy. That's really good. Are you not resistant now? Okay, just have another.
We'd been, some of us had been to a conference, and a guy who some of you know called Hugh Osgood. No, was it Hugh Osgood? Yeah, it was Hugh Osgood. suddenly, before anything else happened, made us all stand up and then talked about, he talked particularly about Dave, but it really was for the church as well, about us having an overview of a county, which is not something we thought. Dayspring Church is my fault. I was wandering through Corsham and saw a notice saying a new church happening. Are you interested? And we hadn't been part of a church then. We were just meeting around Greg and Sue's house occasionally. And I came back and said, oh, there's something that sounds as if it might be our sort of church. And Wendy phoned up, and that what happened was that it was, and they knew people in common, and that started. And we started over in Regis School in Corsham, and then we moved to Chippenham, and now we've moved here, because one of the things about being a church for the county is it doesn't really matter where you are, because like Andy was saying, people travel to us. But that was the start. But for me, the call for Wiltshire came. I don't get a call, you know, the feeling or a word from God or something written in, you know, flaming letters somewhere. I realised I'd been called to Wiltshire when there was a vague possibility that Dave and Wendy might move to Milton Keynes because of David's job at that time. He wasn't the full-time minister here. And I knew I wouldn't go because this was where I was going to stay. And it wasn't anything more than that. That was just my call to the county. I knew that Wiltshire was where I was going to be. And when my parents decided that they were going to move, I said, well, I'm not moving anywhere else. You'll need to move down here. That's really what my call is. How it works out is still going on, but that's my call.
Okay, thank you. Marion, you said something. I got it right down. Do you want me to read it, or do you want to read it? Oh, you've got it? Yeah, I got it too. Just in case. Although, really, I shouldn't have thought that for Marion, should I have been... I'm going to check that what you're saying is right now.
Peter and I became part of Dayspring in about 1995, 96, the beginning of 96, I think, when we moved up here. We didn't, in a sense, have a call to Wiltshire. We were moved to Wiltshire because of Peter's work, and our attitude is to get involved in church where we are. And we went around all the different churches in the area and found that Dayspring actually expressed what we felt most comfortable with in terms of spirituality and the whole idea of reaching out and not being introspective and being part of what's going on in the area. And so when Open Blue was talked about, there was that sense in which we felt really excited, because church can sometimes be quite static and just be sort of located in one area, but the possibility of the bus and that opening up meant a sense of excitement as we prayed about it, and it was really exciting to see it taking shape. I think we also, because I'm a very feeling person, so I think I really appreciated Andy's enthusiasm when Andy got on board with the project as it developed. And he was so enthusiastic, he actually refurbished the first bus, which I think is amazing. I don't think I could have looked at an empty bus and gone, right, this is what we'll do with it.
I didn't do it on my own. I know. I didn't do very much. Carol did my...
Yes, we did do some cleaning of bits and pieces, didn't we? We did. Yeah. You had people supporting you in what you were doing, but you had the vision for how it could look. And I remember the first day, I don't know if anybody else here, was when Andy drove the bus to Sheldon and parked it in the car park, and we all rushed out to have a look and went, "Oh wow, it's a very bold blue and orange with this and yellow or whatever the colour was. It's orange." We thought it was going to be yellow. All right. So yeah, that was really exciting. We were able to go inside and see it and so on. And I remembered it was... the whole thing about actually carrying the DNA of Dayspring out into what God was calling us to do in the different parts of the county. And then what came to mind was I remembered a prophecy that that we had around about that time, or a vision, you might know better than I do, but where it was like Andy was an arrow or being taken out of a quiver and being fired into the county. And he what he was doing was like the tip of the arrow of what was going on. And the strong feeling I had at that time was that there's not going to be one bus. There's going to be more than that. I did quite see a fleet, but maybe that was a bit excessive. But it was more important engaging with the Spirit of God with what God is doing in the area.
Great. Thank you, Miriam.
It's okay. Would you like it back?
Yeah, I will. Yeah. I remember us analysing the picture of the arrowhead, by the way. I don't mind, actually, not knowing what's going to happen. I know that other people do, and I don't mind being on the tip of the arrowhead. However, if you're really going to have any impact, you've got to have the rest of the arrowhead and the shaft and the feathers, and everybody takes their part. And that's why I picked up, you know, that it wasn't me who did the refurbishment, for instance. I knew what we wanted to do, but everybody... you know, was part of it. This has been a huge team, so I did want to stress that there. I'm just drawing this thing here because I'm wanting to just one of our the strap line for Open Blue is delivering opportunity. Okay, and so out of the prayer and the prophecy and the prophetic action going onto the map. Because we put all these trees in place over the county, we then actually got the bus and we started to try and, in our own small way, deliver some opportunity into isolated communities in Wiltshire. And we also had something that we were also trying to deliver. Okay, we at the time, I think we thought about, you know, we were going to plant churches, because there was a lot of talk about planting churches. But I've just reworded that to hope, because I think it actually helps us a little bit better, really, that the thing was actually going on at this point here. Okay, now, it's just going to develop, but probably between all of you this morning, we could probably get a list of all the places that the bus has been. Okay, now, I will just tell you a few, okay, just to get you an idea of the spread, but then of course everybody will, different people will remember different things, and our collective memory will be much more accurate. but we have been in Swindon, okay, we did quite a big project right in Pinehurst in Swindon, in quite a deprived area in Swindon. We've been into Malmesbury, we did a whole project there for quite a while in Malmesbury. We've been up to Mynty, Cricklade, we've been in Chippenham, we've been in Carn, we've been in Lynham, Wootton Bassett. We've been down to Warminster a couple of times. Melksham, I think, we've been once. Westbury, we've been. Devizes, we did a mind and body fair once. We did several years there. We have done something down in Salisbury. Andy Murray will remember that because he and I had to share the driving because we were so scared that we were going to lose concentration of driving because it's quite tiring driving that huge big bus and there was a massive hill to go down. I think that's the only time the brakes ever overheated, and we didn't. And we don't. Oh, we lost braking. But do you remember that, Andy? We lost braking. Anyway, sorry. Go move on. And so we have done a spread. We tried to get over to Upavon. We didn't quite get there, I think. We did some investigations and stuff. We've been in Marlborough once, I think, and that sort of thing. So you can see that we've had quite a good spread over the years of getting into the whole county of Wiltshire. There's been bits that we haven't done. And of course, over the years, we've honed ourselves to try and just reach isolated bits of Wiltshire that don't have a community centre, because we did have a lot of requests for, please come and park your bus outside our community centre. We said, well, we are a community centre. If you've got one already, you don't need us. You know, that sort of conversation. So that's where I saw the map. You know, the map was important when we were praying and prophesying. The map is important now as a log of where the bus has been. And in fact, I just wanted to see whether anybody else has got... I've asked a couple of people... Are you flagging up? Have we missed anything, Phil? Lackham, we've got the Lackham stories, Candy. We'll come to that in a minute. Tina, have we missed anything?
Bingley, obviously. But the schools that we used to go to.
Oh, yes. We went to three main secondary schools dealing with children at risk of exclusion. We did that for about five years maybe. So we're doing that. Anything else? I know we've got Lackham, Richard, because Richard is quite like Candy was in Lackham. In fact... Welly Place, the army, no, we haven't mentioned, there you go. So this is something that brought here to my, I asked Candy, because Candy was quite a team player for us in Lackham, where we went to the college, there's a residential students there, and I said, what do you remember? And she's actually kept contact with some of the students, and so contacted them in this last week or so and said, what do you remember, guys? Now, there's a couple... I've got two kids, and they're living down in Cornwall, I think now, and they responded really quickly and said, oh, if we'd known earlier, we'd have been here today. Oh, I don't know who they are. This is quite amazing. Here's their story. Let me just see if I can... JNC, that's all we know. The blue bus came to Lackham, we welcomed it. We could sit with our friends and have discussions about life and enjoy the fab hot chocolate. One time, one of the workers picked up on the fact that we were stressing. We were going out, we had found out we were pregnant, and didn't know what to do, or how to tell our pastoral manager or our parents. They offered to pray for us, and we said yes, not knowing whether to believe or not. But we thought, what the hell, can't be any worse than it is already. We were prayed for, and all went well, and we are now married with two kids. We can't thank Andy and his team... which I didn't pray for them. I don't remember me praying for them, by the way. I have no recollection of that, so it must have been the team, all they did for us. Hope the bus has many more years of life. Happy to hear it's still going. We're now in our 30s. Okay. This is another one. We've been going to Lackham for a while. Students began to trust us and opened up to us, so that we had conversations and we recognised that, you know, we cared for them. And you weren't all about getting bums on seats on a Sunday. And then another comment right at the end of theirs, they said, my kids love going and playing. I think this is probably at Carn for the youth work. I couldn't believe they were doing it for nothing and not getting paid. I don't attend church unless it's for christenings or weddings, like so many others. So it was nice to be able to ask questions and not feel obliged to attend a church or have their religion rammed down my throat. Great atmosphere, people friendly and nurturing to all. And there was, you know, so I was quite impacted by those, that people have picked up the fact that we were not trying to corral people into church, but we did want to talk about Jesus, we did want to talk about spiritual things, and people were willing to do so. And so in our map, if you like, we are delivering opportunity, but actually we're also delivering hope, probably not in the way that we really expected it when we were in this space. Okay, so we could actually, and I don't know how we do it, but we could actually write on the map what's actually happened on that map, if you like, in Wiltshire over the last 10 years. So that's sort of a logged sort of space, if you like, where that's why I'm putting the map there. Now, just before we move on to the next bit, there's a verse which is in Luke 2:52, which is basically talking about Jesus... Just after he's 12 years old, you know, there's this little story about Jesus 12. He gets lost at the temple, and it says he goes home, and then he had the favour of all of the people and of God. And I think sometimes as evangelical Christians, we think that those two are not compatible. That if you have the favour of God, you're probably going to irritate people. Yeah? I mean, I'm sure that you must have picked that up. If just a quick search on the web would give you that feel. I think that this bit here has done that. It's, what did I say it was? Luke 2. Luke 2, 52. Which is the favour of people and of God. And sometimes I get the feeling that, well, there's never really been a bad word said about the bus, apart from the exhaust fumes once, I think. So I sometimes think, oh, we've got all the favour of people, that's great. What are we doing? You know, how are we achieving? Where are we going with this? But actually, we've also got, and have to remind ourselves that we have the favour of God on this too. So, does anybody else have it? Phil, have you got anything to add yet? You can talk about that, please. Yeah, it's fine. Tina, are you ready yet? Have you got anything? Okay. Phil's got that, yes. It's obviously burning. Oh, get on with it. Come on. If it's out of place, it's out of place. But people can glue it back together in the right place.
Well, before we came, before we joined Dayspring, Andy and I had this psalm given to us, and it was quite significant. You know, it was like this was a bit prophetic about your life. And Psalm 86 says, I haven't got it with me, but it talks about, as you travel through the valley of Baca, you make it a place of springs and wells. And I looked it up at the time, didn't know what the valley of Baca was, but it's a dry place. And so the indication was that we were going to make a difference to the area. At a similar time, that was when Andy, this is before we joined Dayspring, Andy felt God talking to him about his call to the county. And when we came to Dayspring, I remember Dave preaching, the first Sunday we came, he was preaching on Isaiah 58, about spending your life on behalf of the hungry and looking out for the lost, the least and the lowest. If you have to read, I can't quote it all, but you look it up. And I thought, yes, this is the kind of difference I want to make to a place, so that people are better off because we've been there, you know, and you know God has made a difference to their lives. So I think that this might be the next bit. So where we are making a difference to the map, if you like. We are, the Wiltshire will be different because we've been there.
Thank you. That does bring us on neatly, because I wanted to put this red line in here because I'd drawn the blue line in the wrong place a bit, because I think that really the amount of hope that we're delivering to begin with might, I don't know, may, not quite sure how much it was, but let's just draw it there. What I've done is I've stepped it up here because I think we're at about this point. And as Philip has just said, okay, map, but we're actually in a place now where we're going to write on the map stuff that we don't know about yet. Okay? Now, remember, I feel quite comfortable about that. As I said, the arrowhead, I ain't got a problem about that. Okay? Because I suppose God's made me like that. But it has its problems. I don't think about things so much until they happen. So therefore, I don't get scared before it happens, but afterwards it takes a little while to process stuff. So some of you guys are much better at working out how to deal with the thing before it happens. And that's good. And I need people like that around me. Here's the step up, though. The step up goes about the hope section, which is a spiritual impact ramping up or stepping up. And that's what we're really wanting to see. Is part of what God's about, I think, and also the opportunity continuing. Okay, so that's where we are at the moment. Now, give you an example of some stories, a couple of stories that are in the opportunity section at the moment, where we don't know what's happening. Okay, Now, I can't hear Nathan. Where's Nathan? There you are. So, we've been working with Nathan, and he's on been on work experience at Green Square, and he's been doing stuff. He's just started another work experience thing, and I've been working with him. He's been working with me, you know, just sort of trying to get him, getting me into a good place for working. And I've been thinking about, this is a bit where I'm going to have to sort of stop, because it'll be about the updates, but I just want to give you a little flavour. I've been thinking about whether we could actually do something about that in terms of widening it and actually do something a little bit more out in the county in this sort of thing for other people, other young people who are in similar sorts of difficulties and, you know, in a similar sort of position. And so I'd actually thought about, you know, doing some gardening and stuff like that. Okay, but through Nathan's contact with Green Square, the lady who's running the project that he was on, and he can go back to, Sue Winter, phoned us up or sent us an email the other day and said, look, I've got this guy who's in his late 40s, early 50s, somewhere around there, who isn't in work, but he wants to work. And he can do gardening. Is there anything you can do, Andy? Oh, now, it's okay, you think, okay, well, that all joins up nice and neatly. Well, it doesn't, because they want him to start doing something quite quickly, like next week or the week after. What can we do? And, of course, we're not in a position exactly to be able to do very much. Now, of course, some of you may be saying, crumbs, I'd like my garden done. Well, then, see me afterwards. Because seriously, you could see me afterwards if you think that you've got something that you could do, because we could actually possibly give him an hour or two a week or something and show willing in that sort of sense. I think that's unwritten at this stage. Do you see there's a bit of a dilemma? You could probably, those of you who can think ahead, begin to realise there's a bit of a dilemma there. How do we deal with that? And there's all sorts of issues. So we're on this cusp here of, ooh, what's going to happen?
I was just thinking as well, I can't remember when it fitted in, but I know when we were at Sheldon, we started the Woodlands Road project as well.
Yeah, just put that on. Yeah, we'll just start again. Yeah.
I was just thinking about the Woodlands Road project. It was certainly when we were at Sheldon, because I do remember the bus drawing up on the car park. And I also remember troops of us going out like the Seven Dwarves with tools. You know, we used to meet up and then we'd have spades and forks and all sorts, and we'd go off down to Woodlands Road to the bungalows. And I just can't remember where it fits in, because I'm not very good recalling. So it was maybe part of the sort of going out in the community and not doing all about Sundays and things. And I thought that was a really important time. It's the gardening thing as well, that we were out there doing, helping, and working as teams. And it was that was a really important part of the growth. Yeah. But it was pre-Open Blue.
That's important. Sorry, Ian. It was, because the project carried on. But the thing is that that's really important to me, in just hearing that, in that it wasn't the bus that did the things first. It was the church. Mm. Yeah? And that's the whole thing. So the DNA began to grow about reaching out to people and doing the work and getting out into the community. And then, of course, what we've done is we've gone... And probably that was really part of this gestation period here, of it just, you know, beginning to grow, praying, prophesying, trying something out. Woodlands Road as a tryout. We carried it on when we got the bus, and the bus is going, you know, we can't stay in this straitjacket anymore. We've got to burst out, and away we go. So I want to just, because I want to just try and get a sense of what God is saying now. Okay? And when you came in, you probably didn't notice, but you were listening to one of my favourite bands from the 1970s. Okay, and the band is called Supertramp. And I actually had in my head, well, I suddenly felt this phrase come in into my head. And I just couldn't quite get it. As Dave said last week, music doesn't really do it for me. And of course, God this week has done a couple of things through music for me, you know, just to prove Dave wrong, I think. Because it's very unusual, because I've got two songs I'm going to talk about. So the first one is this, and the first verse is how I feel about this project, and I think how we do as well. It goes like this. I'm not singing it, by the way. Look at me, I'm a speck of sand. I'm building dreams in a stranger's land. Tell me, why do I care? Tell me, why do I care? Okay, and I just thought, oh, that's me. From all those years ago, and I've listened to Supertramp all over the years. It was my student sort of band and everything like that. And then the next verse, obviously it tails off in impact. Every time I'm feeling down, oh, they pick me up and they spin me round. Tell me, where do they go? Where do they go? Well, I sort of interpret that because I always change lyrics in my own head. So tell me where to go. Tell me where to go. You know, so sort of, sort of where am I? Okay. And there's a verse which is, when are we going to find out? When are we going to find out? And I feel that we're in that place at the moment. Where, what are we going to find out? What's going to happen next? We don't know, but we've got to have some idea. Okay? So, I suddenly remember this a couple of weeks ago, a preach that I heard when I lived in Milton Keynes from a guy called George Ridley. And it was from Exodus chapter 4. And it's God is talking to Moses. Now, hold on, let's just see if we can... I've got the scripture up, and Mark is going to try and keep up with me. If... Hold on, Mark, let's just... and slide, so... It's just so you've got the Bible verses. Has that gone up? Yeah, so if you click... What? From the beginning. That's only... Technical people sort that. Just so you can read the Bible. But basically, God is talking to Moses. Okay? Actually, I do need to just read out a little bit of it. I'll probably read it, and then whilst they do that. Moses asked the Lord, "Suppose everybody refuses to listen to my message, and no one believes that you really appeared to me." The Lord answers, "What's that in your hand?" He goes, "It's my walking stick." "Throw it down," God commands. So the Moses threw the stick on the ground. Immediately it turns into a snake, and Moses jumps back. "Pick it up by the tail." I think that's quite dangerous. "Pick it up by the tail," the Lord tells him. And Moses does it, and the snake turns back into his walking stick. "Do this," the Lord said, "and the Israelites will believe that you have seen me, the God who was worshipped by their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Next, the Lord commands Moses, "Put your hand inside your shirt." Moses obeyed, and when he comes out, his hands turned white like snow. Somebody with leprosy. "Put your hand back inside your shirt." Moses did so, and when he took it out again, it's as healthy as the rest of his body. Lord says, "If no one believes either of these miracles, take some water from the Nile, pour it on the ground, the water will turn to blood." Moses says, notice how Moses changes the subject here. Okay, "I've never been a good speaker. I wasn't one before you spoke to me, and I'm not one now. I am slow at speaking," and the word slow can mean... I don't know if you've... I was in Devizes at Rosie's, by the way, the ironmonger's shop. And bless him, the guy was absolutely brilliant, served me brilliantly, but he was a slow speaker. And so I go, "Could I have some of those things over there, please?" "Yes. They are very good things to have." And it was sort of that pace, you know, my pace, his pace. And here's Moses saying, "I'm slow." It might be that he stammered. We don't really know. And he says, "I can never think of what to say." But the Lord answers, "Who makes people able to speak or makes them deaf or unable to speak? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Don't you know that I'm the one who does these things? Now go, when you speak, I'll be with you and give you the words to say." And Moses resists again. He's resisting all the way down the line. In fact, right at the start of this story, Moses says, "Suppose everybody refuses to listen to my message and no one believes that you really appeared." So he's resisting at that point. God says the miracles, Moses resists. God says it's okay, we'll sort it all out. Moses still resists. Moses begs, "Lord, please send someone else to do it." And the Lord becomes irritated with Moses and says, and I think there's a change here. Okay, God is irritated, and so he starts off in this sentence irritated. He goes, "What about your brother Aaron the Levite?" And you could see, okay, let's have another idea. What about your brother, you know, Aaron the Levite? I know he's a good speaker. He's already on his way here to see you. And he will be happy to see you again. Aaron will speak to the people for you. And I think something happens here, which I really want to focus on. God then says, and you will be like me, telling Aaron what to say. I'll be with both of you as you speak, and I'll tell each of you what to do. Now take this stick and use... Now I think this moment, God is looking, even when we're resisting, he's looking for the bit. Even when we've resisted and put God into a... We've put ourselves into a different space, I suppose, and God's going, oh, grief, how are we going to get around this? And suddenly God sees, I can still have Moses on my team. In fact, he's going to be like me. Brilliant. We can work together. So, get the picture. God is saying to Moses, look, we're going to work together on this and go do this. I want you to do that. Moses says no. God says it's okay, we'll do this. Moses says no. God says it's okay, we'll do this. Moses says no. And in the end, he says, okay, we finally, they have a little bit of a compromise, but God still gets the fact that Moses is going to work with him. And that's how God is with us. It doesn't matter how much we resist, God has a plan, and it doesn't matter how much you muck it up, it doesn't matter how badly your day, your week, your month, your year, or your 10 years has gone, God has still got a plan that's going to work round all the stuff that you've done that went wrong. And he's going to work with you. And I just think that's utterly, utterly brilliant. And we have done stuff as we thought we ought. And we have made mistakes, and we thought we were going to plant church, and we haven't. But in the hope bit, we have seen some people, just in the latter stages, I think, in the last year or so, people who have actually volunteered with us start to say, yes, I'd like to talk about the journey of faith. Now, of course, we've had other people, like Candy's reported, that, you know, quite early on in the process, which we never knew about. Now, I want to just encourage you with one thing that happened, particularly at the Traveller site, but it happens all over the communities we go in. Okay, so think of you now, think of yourself now, and there's an after-school club running on the bus. The kids are all over the shop, it's loud, there's craft activities going upstairs, there's we going upstairs, there's other stuff going on. And you think to yourself, well, I don't like kids much, I'm not very good with them, you know, what? I can't do the cooking, I can't do the we, I'm not technically able, what am I going to do? Andy's asked me to come here, I'm just going to sit down. Okay, and through the hour and a half you sit there, and people have done this, by the way, and they don't really know what to do, they sit there. I have people from the communities do this as well, and they get up at the end and they go, and I say, thanks very much, because you've been absolutely amazing today. And they don't believe me, and you understand why, because what on earth have you done? All you've done is sat there, you've drunk a couple of cups of tea, you've had a chat to a couple of people. I say, you've influenced the children. And they say, how have I done that? I says, because I know what they're like when you're not on board, okay? And then you come on board and they're different. And no adult ever believes me, okay? And we are in the same position when we go into a community with the bus. And it's only our community champions like Sally Wheeler or Phil Duggleby, or, you know, who's at Lackham, and Sally Wheeler at Laycock, or whoever it is, they're the ones who notice what difference we make. Okay, so that's why we don't know what the stories are so much. Okay, do you get what I mean with that? That you just can't see it, but we still have to go do it. Okay, and we can. So, George Ridley preached this. He said, "What's it?" God says, what's in your hand? And Moses answers, a walking stick. It's very ordinary. It's just part of his work. In fact, when I told Dave about this, he said, what's in your hand? Oh, God could have said, what's in your handbag? Okay? I just thought, I do have a handbag, actually. I wouldn't have said that a few years ago. but for those of you that have a handbag, what's in your handbag? Or for those of you that have got a pen in your hand, what's in the pen? You know, it's, I don't know. For Moses, it was a stick. It's whatever's the ordinary thing for you. And God's asking it, and then he's saying, no miracle will be performed out of it. Now, as I thought of that story, I thought of Katrina on Friday night, as she was telling her story, because what actually she said at one point, towards the end of the interview, she indicated that she'd prayed with some colleagues in her caring work. So, I think it was colleagues, or was it patients? Where are you, Kat? Was it colleagues or patients? Colleague. and a client. Right, so, and I haven't heard that story, you know, but that's, she's just doing the same thing that we've heard from, you know, Lackham, just being praying with people. It's ordinary. She's in her work, ordinary. Just checking she doesn't cross those boundaries, I suppose, because some clients don't want to do that, I suppose. But obviously this client did, and the colleagues did. Do you see what I mean? And it's the ordinary stuff, so we can all do it. So there is one final bit that I want to wrap up with, and then we're done. Here's my second song. I don't know if I've got the song here. It's the. It was a song written in 1979, and I think it was a prophetic song and recognised as a prophetic song then. And how long is 79 to 14 now? How many years is that? 20, 35 years ago. Oh, I hadn't worked that out. Yeah. It does, because you just wonder. I did actually. Here's the thing. There it is. So I hear the sound of the rustling of the leaves in the trees, the Spirit of the Lord. And I this was one of those earwax. No. Earworms, sorry. Sorry. Oh, it's the wrong. Didn't mean to say. No, that's not Harry Potter's little thing, earwax, isn't it? No, sorry, earworm. I suddenly, and you see, this is the thing. I don't get these things happen. But this week, I was driving along and I suddenly thought, I hear the sound of rustling. My tongue will be the pen of a ready writer, and what the Father gives to me, I'll sing. I only want to be his breath. I only want to glorify the King. Now, see, I'm not musical, so I do not interpret it that I am going to sing forever. What I interpret that bit, my tongue will be the pen of a ready writer, is my hands will do what God wants me to do, and my body will be in the right place, and I'll try and say what I've got to say. What the Father gives to me, I'll sing. Whatever he gives, I will do. I only want to be his breath. I just want to be in his space doing what his sort of thing. I only want to glorify the King. Now, it goes on. It was a time, 35 years ago, and the church really was, you know, not, well, I suppose it's not been in a good place for quite a long time. But the thing is, this is prophecy. Okay, it's prophetic. The rustling of the leaves in the trees. That was all it was. It was a bit of wind. Okay, and you could hear it in the trees. And I think that things are changing. And so, it was before this, that prophecy came years and years and years before that. It was a prophetic word. And then we started to prophesy, and we said, okay, we could see all of these things happening. And then we've worked hard for 10 years, and we've begun to start to work out what we should be doing as church, and so on, things like that, and what we do as individuals, how it operates for us, and how the people around us operate. And now we're here, and we're saying, we want to do more of this. And that's where we're going to be with the updates as to what we want to do more of. Now, of course, we're not necessarily going to get it right, but the thing is, I want to be in the middle of what God's doing. And God is still doing it. That's why I've tried to show you this today, because God was here. We all felt it as good, charismatic, evangelical Christians. Very excited at times, I did, jumping up and down when Raph was prophesying and praying and all sorts of things like that. And then, you know, we've been good with this stuff, and we've been faithful, and we've moved on, and we've seen stuff happen. And we want to see more happen, and God is wanting us to do it. My prayer today has been that you guys will get a sense of, not what I've really been saying so much, as the Holy Spirit will connect to you about this and say, and somehow you will say, I want to be on that train. And I say train so we don't mix it up with a bus, okay? Because it's about a lot of other stuff, okay? But you want to be on board, you want to be in on it, because this is where the adventure is. And I don't know if you can feel that you're looking over the edge. We're sort of looking over the edge, but we can also look back and see that some good stuff's happened and encourage ourselves. Yeah? So, come to the update and find out what happens next. That's it. So there you go.